Welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, November the 15th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. As always, I thank you for being with me as we continue to break open God's Word together this week, looking at the readings for this coming weekend, which is the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, this will be the last Sunday in Ordinary Time that we hear from until after the Christmas season, so probably into, let's say, mid-January, that we are going to next be in Ordinary Time for a brief period of time, maybe a handful of weeks before we enter into Lent, that season in between Christmas and Lent. Okay, we're going to speak more about the liturgical year and calendar and why it's set up as it is on the other side of our readings. But for those who like to read along with, here are the readings we're going to hear from today. It's Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. So short reading for our first reading. And then we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 32. Now again, brothers and sisters, however it is that you prepare yourself to hear God's word, that you may open yourself, that you may receive it, that it may find a home within you, I invite you to do that now so this word may resonate within and find the fruition for which God has sent it. So let's break open God's word. We're reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress since nations began until that time. At that time your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. My friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as always, brothers and sisters, if there is a word, a thought, an image, an idea, a phrase that came to mind when you heard that word of God, even if that feeling was a feeling of peace, you know, because for whatever reason the word kind of escaped you, but you just felt good hearing it, allow the Spirit of God to work with you and in you through that feeling, through that word, through whatever it is. Because God will use whatever is there to speak to us, even here, even now. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So as I mentioned, we're on the 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. And next week, we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King, which concludes our liturgical year. Now, I know generally when I get to this part of the year, I say the same thing because really that's all I know. But what's important for us to know is that the liturgical year, which will start in 2 weeks with the first Sunday of Advent, is meant in a sense not only to take us through the year, but in a sense it's meant to take us from the beginning of creation until the end of creation. So you'll notice, of course, the first 4 weeks of Advent, of course, we are longing for the coming of the Savior. So in a sense, we come back to that before Christ, moments, that from the creation of the world until Christ comes in the Feast of the Incarnation on December the 25th, that those 4 weeks represent that moment, those times, that desiring, that looking for God and humanity, God and creation to unite and to unify in Christ, right? And then we have the coming of the Christ, and then we go through the life of Christ, the passion, the death, the resurrection of Christ up until the coming of the Spirit. And then we have ordinary time all the way until now, which basically it symbolizes, again, all of life lived from that moment of Christ all the way until the end of time, which is why around the 32nd and 33rd Sundays of ordinary time, and even into next week with the Feast of Christ the King to a degree, we're going to get these readings from Daniel, from Mark, from Matthew next year, or Luke next year, or whatever it would be, that talk about the kind of end times imagery, right? And so what we hear is this apocalyptic stuff that is going on. So apocalyptic language is in a sense like a puzzle to figure out. It's the very word apocalyptic means hidden. And so the first thing I would say to you, brothers and sisters, when we hear language like this from Daniel, and Daniel carries much apocalyptic language, when we hear sayings like this from Jesus, and each of the synoptics are going to have some of this language, I urge us not to take it literally, that, okay, I'm waiting for that sun to darken, I'm waiting for those stars to fall from the sky and the firmament become shaken, or whatever it is. But it's hidden language. It's language that is deeply symbolic, that is true always, not just at one point in time, somewhere out there at the end of time. And that something is being pointed to that is part of the human experience. And what we need to do is somehow unlock that within our experience, within our world, and see the truth of it there. Okay, so that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing is, and another reason that I would say this to back it up, is if we heard in the gospel today, right? Jesus talks about this apocalyptic language, at that time, in those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky. And then you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven and gather the elect from the four winds. The angels will do that. And he says, learn a lesson then from the fig tree. He says, when we see these things happening, we know that these times are near. But then he says, I say to you, amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until these things have taken place. So either, again, if we hear these things and we think Jesus is talking about the end of the world, well, I guess in one sense, he certainly is. But if we hear this and think, okay, he's talking about the end of the world, then why would he say, I'm telling you, this generation won't pass away until these things have taken place? Was Jesus wrong? Perhaps was Jesus speaking about something different than perhaps we're thinking about it? Because I would lean that way, and not that Jesus was wrong with what he was saying. that perhaps these words have been misunderstood. Brothers and sisters, I know this. I know that there is within Catholicism, within larger Christianity, this idea that these are certainly end time readings and that they point to how the end of the world will take place. That the end of the world will be a time of distress, that literally the sun will be darkened, and people look into the imagery in Revelation, which is also apocalyptic. They look into the imagery in Daniel. They look into this imagery and they try to put it all together. I mean, goodness sakes, read the late great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, or not, by the way, for how people will take this and spin a thread into it to say this is how the end of time is going to come and this is what the second coming will look like. Hey, brothers and sisters, here's what I know. I know that I don't know. And I don't know how the end of time will take place. What Christianity will say is that time is moving toward a certain place, toward an ending. And this thread that I talk about within some of Christianity and Catholicism looks at it as one of tribulation and distress, and God comes down to save humanity before they off themselves, and it's a very dark time. There's another thread, brothers and sisters, within the umbrella of Christianity, I would say even within the umbrella, the large umbrella that is Catholicism, that doesn't look at it that way at all, but that looks at the end of time as something that we move forward more and more in communion with our God through the incarnation, building in God's image, because of God's Spirit, the kingdom of God here on earth. I think of people like Teilhard de Chardin, which the Jesuit priest, by the way, which when asked later in his life about nuclear war and said, you know, as he was somebody who believed in this thread, and they said, you know, Teilhard, what's going to happen if, you know, a nuclear apocalypse happens? Won't that undermine the very idea and image that you have of humanity working in God's image and toward the kingdom of God fully being realized here on earth? And he says, well, it will certainly set God's plan back, you know, a million years, but it won't thwart it, you know. And again, I love that hope. And brothers and sisters, here's my point. I don't know what these mean. As I said, I know Christianity is moving toward a time when time will end. The time is moving to a certain ending, that it is not forever. And that what I urge us, when we hear readings like this, that we don't hear them and let our blood pressure rise and our anxiety rise and wonder, is this that time when, you know, all these things are going to happen and dark things are going on? I don't know the answer to what the future holds. But I do know these can be readings, if we choose to look at them, of great hope. Brothers and sisters, they are readings of great hope. Let's just look at Daniel, right? Okay, he does talk about, listen, it's going to be a time unsurpassed and distressed, whatever's going on, since the nations began until that time. But it also says, but at that time your people shall escape. Remember, Daniel is in Babylon, and he's talking about the Jewish people. Your people, the people that are faithful to Yahweh, to God, shall escape. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, many of those who appear dead, many of those who think of themselves as dead will awake and live forever. The wise shall shine brightly. Those who lead many to justice shall be like stars. I mean, brothers and sisters, it says, listen, in the midst of this distress, there is good that is happening. And in the midst of all the distress that is happening, the people of God will shine forth, and God will be with them. Now let's fast forward to Jesus' words, right? In those days after that tribulation, whatever that is, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. And into that space, into that, you know, great tribulation and distress, you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, who will gather the elect and remind them, I am here with you. Here's what I will say, and I'll be quiet, because really I'm just pointing at things that I think the readings are pointing at. This is chapter 13 of Mark. I've mentioned it the last 2 weeks. We are in Holy Week, right? We are in between that moment of Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday, and Good Friday, when Jesus is getting ready to offer himself as gift to all of us, to show how much God loves us. And he is in conflict with the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. And in the midst of all that, they're in the temple, right? So if you go earlier in chapter 13, you'll see this. And the disciples are all there in the temple, and they're like, look, Jesus, look at all the beauty of the temple. Look at how it's put together. Look at the jewels and the firmament and all that. Isn't it amazing? And Jesus looks at them essentially and says, all this, you know, don't put your trust in it, because there won't be one stone standing on another ultimately at the end. And I think, brothers and sisters, that's the lesson I think both Daniel and our gospel are trying to tell us. Everything is transitory, even that which is beautiful and strong. What is beautiful and strong and we put our faith in that is not of God, it is all transitory. And that beauty may dissipate and disappear. And that strength which we see today may fade tomorrow. And not one stone will be left standing on another. And I say that not only for human beings, but I say that for the creations of human beings, be they buildings like the temple, or be they empires that we trust in. That everything is transitory. Even those good things, brothers and sisters, in which we place ourselves. I mean, we're human beings. We live through our senses, right? And because we see something, or we feel something, or we know something, or we touch something, or we smell it or taste it or whatever, we can place our trust in it. That's how we're made. I'm not trying to bring shame to anybody in saying that. We have a tendency to place our trust in things that are transitory, because that's the world we live in. And oftentimes God can be elusive in the middle of that world. So we place our trust in our families. We place our trust in our marriages. We place our trust in the good that we see and do. We place our trust in all kinds of wonderful things and things less than wonderful in our world. And we think that is the way it always will be. But it's not. Change is the only thing that is constant. And I'll butcher the statement from John Henry Cardinal Newman, but ultimately, you know, he says, to be holy is to change. And to change often is to be ultimately what we're called and to be most sacred. Now, he said it so incredibly better than I just did. But ultimately, he's saying, listen, for us to be sacred and holy people, we need to lean into the fact that change is part of that. And do you know what change causes in us? It causes the sun to go out in the sky, to be darkened. It causes the moon to not give its light, the stars to fall from the sky, and the very firmament to be shaken, right? Because when we lose a loved one that was so close to us, our world is darkened. When we get that diagnosis that we are not immortal, but very mortal, the stars fall from the sky. When the things that we placed our trust in, be that the paycheck that no longer is coming in when the job is taken away, or the democracy on which I trusted that will always be there, or the goodness that I see in this person over here, and I learned something new about them. All those, we lose our grounding. We feel darkened. We feel thrown into a new space that we don't like, and we feel anxious, and we feel unmoored, and we feel like, where are you, God, in the midst of this darkness? And my world is coming to an end. And brothers and sisters, here's where the hope is. When we feel dead like that, when we feel in darkness like that, our God says, here am I. I stand at the door. I come on the clouds of heaven to remind you who you are and to ultimately lead you through that valley of the shadow of death and darkness into a marvelous light. Brothers and sisters, our worlds end all the time. And I don't wish this on anybody. I think I'm saying something that is true, that we trust in things that are transitory because it's the world in which we live, and it's the senses that are able to connect with that. And all this beauty that God has given us within creation is all changing. It is all moving toward death and something new. But remember, death leads into resurrection, into a new life. And when our worlds are shaken and we feel in darkness and the stars have fallen in the sky and we feel like ashes underneath the earth, we are in a liminal time. The life that we knew before is taken from us, and we are in the doorway to a new life that will come next. I don't know when it will come. I don't know how long we will be in that liminal space, but I do know that it will come, because that is where our God in these readings, I believe firmly, are pointing. That Jesus Christ is the King of the universe, and that life does have the last word over death. I think all of that is true in the resurrection, and I think that's how Jesus can say all these things will take place before this generation passes, because I'm going to show you the pattern. But it doesn't mean that death and darkness and tribulation and distress are taken away. It means they will be overcome, and that God is with us in the midst of it. Let that be our hope, as sometimes our worlds end, and as we come to the end of this liturgical year, that there is no end, that God is always our all in all, and the one thing that is not transitory. And when we lose something that is transitory and we are distressed, may we be reminded to place our trust in the one that is not transitory. Let's pray, my friends. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, thank you for being with me again this 33rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. May your week ahead be filled with every good blessing. Be well. And God's peace.